Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. The liver is an important organ that is critical for detoxifying the body. So did you know that your gut microbiome can play a role in how our liver functions? So whatever we consume in our diets can impact how our body detoxifies. So this includes how our bodies get rid of toxic chemicals like BPA, phthalates, and parabens. And that's why also today we're really excited to be joined by Sophie Van Iselstein, the Holistic Health Whisperer. Sophie is certified by the Institute of Integrative Nutrition Health. She has joined a coaching program and she has actually joined the coaching training program and the Gut Health Advanced Program. So, and is currently studying for her Master of Science in Human Nutrition and Functional Medicine. So we're going to discuss with Sophie about gut-liver axis and how it impacts our immune system and the liver-friendly meals. So I'm gonna see. Hello, hi Sophie.
Hi, Gina. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, it's a pleasure. Let me try to just fix a few things. Okay. Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I had a little stutter while I was introducing you. So you are actually certified by the Institute of Integrative Nutrition Health Coach Training Program and also the Gut Health Advanced Program. That's a lot.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about like your background, like how you became an integrative nutrition health coach.
Yes, sure. Sorry, first I have to apologize because I had a little bit of a sore throat. So you might not understand everything. My voice might just go away. So hopefully it will be all okay.
You're good.
So yeah, just as a bit of a background, well, interestingly, I haven't been in this field for the last, I would say, 15 years of my life. I just transitioned 5 years ago. And nutrition, health coaching, and functional medicine have always been a passion and a strong interest. I pursued a life in corporate. I was in finance, and I was having this 9-to-5 corporate job. Nothing wrong with that. But after several years, my health really went for the worse. I went to see various doctors, and really nobody could find out what was wrong with me. Knowing that nutrition was a passion and that's what I was always diving into on the side, I decided to heal myself and make a complete shift. And once I felt better, I thought, well, this is what I want to do with my life. So I pursued this certification at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition and followed by the Gut Health Advanced Program, as you mentioned. And I'm very interested in understanding the underlying mechanism of health. Mm-hmm. So that's why I entered this Master of Science in Functional Medicine and Human Nutrition.
That is so cool. It's always really nice to hear like these powerful personal stories. And I think that's also make it even more tangible when you're like trying to work with your clients. Because I think many people kind of like have gone there, like corporate job, like really stressful. And then that thing like slowly causing their health to decline.
Yes, and exactly. And you know, I'm very happy I did. You know, it's a pity that unfortunately in our current healthcare system, you know, they don't work towards reinforcing the terrain.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's what we need to do. And look holistically.
Yes. So in your words, like what is integrative nutrition?
So, well, for me, integrative nutrition is really a integrated approach to healthcare. It integrates your lifestyle to as well how you eat and what you feed yourself off, you know, on and off the plate. So whenever I have a patient that I'm health coaching, I'm first trying to understand their habits, their past, their health history. Of course, what they put on their mouth. But, you know, we always say, especially in integrative nutrition, that your diet and your nutritional intake are secondary. Yes, it feeds you. Yes, and it provides, like, the right nutritional intake. but what feeds you the most is how you live. And I think integrated nutrition is looking at health holistically, on, in and out and out, outside of the plate.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. In and outside of the plate. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's also oftentimes when we not where we talk up because we do toxin testing, and when we talk about toxins or how your environmental exposures are, it's always like your outside exposure as well as your inside exposure, and both kind of like it completes the picture.
Exactly. Completely.
Yeah. So, how does integrative nutrition play into like liver health? These like you know our topic today is about liver.
Yeah. Well, you know. Whatever you do, you know, every day, you know, whether it's how you eat or how you live, you are receiving, you know, what the world throws at you, whether it's, you know, the toxins, environmental toxins or nutritional toxins, if I may say, nutritional toxins that are unfortunately in food that we don't know about. So whenever a patient as well come to see me, you know, has either elevated liver enzymes or you know, need to go through some sort of detoxification, we surely look at, you know, how that person lives. So in integrative nutrition, we look at, you know, the psychosocial factors, the stress, potential trauma, and anything that, you know, influences how the person lives, which then dictates how the person nourishes him or herself. And of course, we look at a food diary, we look at the food intake, and then we recalibrate accordingly. Mm-hmm. And we target, obviously, we set up dietary protocols to target liver health.
Mm-hmm. So how does the liver, you know, what does the liver do to the body? Like describing like layman term, like the function of liver.
Yes. Well, you know, it has... You know, the liver is one of the most complex organ, right? It holds approximately like 13% of the total blood of the body, and all the blood from your intestines travel directly to your liver. You know, it has various functions, and the primary function, as you know, we guess now, is to detoxify the body. Obviously, it also, you know, it stores fat-soluble vitamins. It detoxifies hormones. But primarily it looks at what you ingest. So the food you take, once it enters the small intestine, it is absorbed. And once it absorbs, it travels through the portal vein to go directly to the liver, and the liver detoxifies everything that enters your body. And it decides what to do with it. It decides whether it's gonna store some energy, you know, it modulates insulin, glucagon, and blood sugar. Or it dictates what needs to get out, and also what needs to be reabsorbed.
Mm. So through this process, then liver kind of help regulate what one of the most important thing in our body signals and system, which is hormone.
Exactly. It's the primary detoxifying organ in the body. So it's very important to understand how it functions and to support it as much as we can. And I think that's a function that's quite underestimated. And I think what's quite underestimated is that nutrition is needed to detoxify properly, because the liver uses nutrients and nutrition to do the job.
Right. And then whenever we talk about nutrition, we always know gut health is really, really important, which you were also in a gut advanced program. So what role does our gut play in like liver health?
Yeah, so, you know, as well, I'll come back to the whole, you know, detoxification on the liver detoxification process, because I think that's a process that's interesting to know more about. But literally, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the gut is directly connected to the liver through the portal vein. Mm-hmm. And our little bugs in our gut, so the gut microbiome, has a direct effect with obviously the toxic load or not. So later we'll talk a little bit as well about hormones. But for example, the state of your gut or your gut microbiome and certain species might upregulate a certain enzyme, for example, called beta-glucuronidase or beta-glucuronidase.
Yep.
And beta-glucuronidase actually reactivates the estrogens that have been metabolized by the liver. And instead of excreting them in the bile, mm-hmm. So this enzyme would favor the reabsorption. So, and that comes from an imbalanced gut microbiome. So when you have a dominance of some of those bacteria, such as I believe Bacteroides, Firmicutes, they are the one overproducing, or let's say producing, beta-glucuronidase, and those are ruminating if you are not, or let's say, yeah, if you're having dysbiosis or if your diet is imbalanced. And unfortunately, this is a big element. This is an important factor in estrogen dominance. I mean,
Oh, wow.
having your estrogens properly balanced relates to having a balanced gut microbiome. We need a little bit of that beta-glucuronidase to perform the job. Some estrogens needs to be excreted, some needs to be reabsorbed. But the moment that your gut microbiome is imbalanced with that type of bacteria, then obviously it's gonna, as I explained, produce more beta-glucuronidase, and then more estrogen will be reabsorbed and go back into circulation.
Oh, wow. I think this is another connection. You actually gave the perfect example, like, okay, how does the gut microbiome nutrition play a role in the liver health? But then how does the liver then connect with the hormones and then our entire like metabolism?
Exactly, and that's only from a hormones perspective. Now, if you take again, you know, someone that has an imbalanced diet, you know, it's very easy to just, you know, there's we all have easy access to fast food. We all have easy access to takeaway, and then we are all busy, and we're all trying to just, you know, save time. Maybe do not have a lot of time to cook and to go and buy whole foods, and without, you know, ignoring that buying whole foods and most of the time organic, you know, are comes with a cost. But you know, health is important, and unfortunately, when you make the wrong choices, and when you do not eat enough of those whole grains, of the whole foods, of the plants, of the fruits and the vegetables, and especially the fibers that those good microbes and the microbiota feeds on, you then again go into pathogenic territory. And when you have pathogenic overgrowth, usually they are gram-negative bacteria. Let's say they tend to dominate, and those gram-negative bacteria have a cell wall made of lipopolysaccharides, and lipopolysaccharides are a potent endotoxin. So, you know, when those bacteria die, and it's a normal, you know, life, cellular life process, so those bacteria die, and when they die, they release those LPS into the bloodstream, but obviously it's then filtered through the liver. So the liver is even more burdened next to all the toxins. It needs to detoxify. And if, you know, this is sustained, if dysbiotic state is sustained and an imbalanced gut is sustained, then you place an incredible heavy burden on your liver on a pretty long term. And unfortunately, and I've seen cases where, you know, you start having, you know, hepatic injury, and some patients end up having non-alcoholic fatty liver disease because the hepatocytes start being damaged by the liver trying to cope with all the toxins coming from endotoxemia, from LPS.
Oh, wow.
And that's one. And then the second, there's also, you know, when you have as well, you have pathogenic overgrowth, you have all type of pathogenic bacteria. And, you know, some people as well suffer from candidiasis and candida overgrowth and yeast overgrowth. And interestingly, those bacteria, they ferment the carbohydrates and the sugar that you ingest. So the thing is that a lot of, I don't know if you heard before, but you know, there's a lot of protocols against candida to say you need to eliminate sugar, you need to eliminate carbohydrates, and so on, which, you know, it's therapeutically, it makes sense, but it is very hard, you know, for a patient to follow on the long term. But let's say the biochemical reason for that, or the underlying reason, is that candida and yeast species, they ferment those carbohydrates, and when they ferment them, they release ethanol, which is like, oh. And so then this is not, it's literally a similar compound to almost the alcohol that you drink. And then the ethanol, through some bacterial conjugation and enzyme work, you know, shifted into acetaldehyde. You know, my English, again, I'm not a native English speaker, so forgive my sometimes pronunciation. And again, the liver has to detox all this. So hence how the gut has a very strong impact on the liver.
Oh, wow.
So all of these symptoms that you talked about, could these symptoms be also part of the leaky gut symptom? Because whenever people talk about how they always talk about the leaky gut. So what is the leaky gut and how could it impact our liver?
Leaky gut, I think a lot of us as well have heard about that, is when the tight junction of, the small intestine are becoming loose. So usually the villi are very tight and are supposed to stay very tight. There's extremely microparticle that might pass through, but usually that's not. So when these tight junction become loose for many reasons, and there are many reasons for that, it can be antibiotic overuse, it can be stress. A lot of athletes have that, because they compete, which puts a strain,
Oh, wow.
from a chemical perspective. You end up having, unfortunately, loose tight junctions. So yes, leaky gut is when those tight junctions, the villi, become loose, and then it enables some microparticles of food or anything that passed through the stomach, and toxins and so on, to leak through the bloodstream. And once it leaks through the bloodstream, it triggers an inflammatory response. And unfortunately, and as we can imagine, it has other cascading systemic effect on the body.
That is crazy. Yeah, you mentioned the athletes. Like, it's one of the really interesting fact a while back I learned is a lot of, like, especially performance athletes, they actually have like low immune system compared, really harshly compared to like other people. I mean, super healthy people that we imagine. So they said like partially because they're overtrained in terms of like a really like suppressing their immune system, although it might be like a leaky gut that you just mentioned.
And to be honest, I can totally relate because I, before the kids, I used to, and even in my youth, I used to do a lot of sport. I still do, but for pleasure. But before it was really racing,
Oh,
and
wow.
I went till the Ironman level, but half Ironman, and I was training a lot. And yes, I ended up as well with a weak immune system, what you call the athlete's triad. And yes, I suffered as well from intestinal permeability. That I think it was a many factors coming together. But I'm sure that training in the heat, and the pressure of intense exercise and endurance exercise, as well, did not improve things for me.
Oh, wow. So all the audience, everybody should pay attention, like understand your own like body, your abilities, and then like train to a certain degree and then not over, overdo it.
And that's why, in a way, when you have as well, so leaky guts, so you have those toxins, leaking into the bloodstream, and even though it is not, because it leaks directly through the bloodstream, so there's the toxins and the blood that is circulating from the intestine to the liver. And then you have the immune system reacting to those particles coming into the bloodstream, and that again adds on
And
the liver burden.
Oh, wow. So like you also mentioned the like alcohol, right? Like the cannabis kind of like use alcohol is almost like drinking alcohol. So how does alcohol like potentially like worsen leaky gut or like impact our liver health?
Well, alcohol is also, also has a very strong impact indeed on the gut and on health in general. So, well, it does loosen the tight junction. So just by the fact that, alcohol and its compounds just trigger inflammation in general, and tighten as well, and sorry, loosen the tight junction of the small intestines. It all comes together again to what we just mentioned earlier, and end up putting a very heavy load on the liver. And because, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm taking notes, and I'm just looking at a few notes right now because, we've talked about so much things. And also, I don't want to make sure I don't miss out on anything. And the point is that, yes, alcohol also, unfortunately, because most of the time, I do not say always, but it does promote, pathogenic bacterial overgrowth. It's definitely not the type of intake, whether it's drink or a food, I mean, it's not a food, it's a drink that will have beneficial impact on the gut microbiota. So just because it's, at the end of the day, alcohol is ethanol, but it's also processed as sugar, it's metabolized as sugar. So the bugs are feeding on that sugar. So again, it promotes the growth of the wrong bugs, and that's the wrong bugs that will end up creating inflammation of the gut lining, and then loosening the tight junction, and then creating leaky gut. And then, as we know,
again, the whole, you know, process of detoxifying ethanol and the toxins. And what we didn't mention earlier is that the liver detoxify in two phases. So phase one and phase two detoxification. And why I always mention that, you know, it overburdens the liver, because when it goes through phase one, so there's a certain family of enzymes that come together to detoxify the compound and make it more water soluble. But while it does that job, it uses oxidase enzymes, so it creates a lot of ROS, or reactive oxygen species, which is oxidative stress. So then it depletes a lot of the antioxidant reserves of the body, and then you would need to have a concomitant phase two that uses specific cofactors or nutrients to kind of buffer up the ROS or oxidative stress that is created in phase one. So that's why, you know, I always put a lot of emphasis on proper nutrition during detoxification.
Antioxidants.
Yeah, exactly. And intake of, you know, intake of whole foods, fruit, vegetables, eat the rainbow, and just load up on those antioxidants, because, you know, the more you're loaded with toxins, the more you would need those proper nutrients to detoxify. And unfortunately, when I talk about, you know, alcoholic fatty liver disease or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and some people that end up, unfortunately, with you know, hepatic steatosis or fibrosis or liver injury, is because one of the phases was not able to cope with the demand of the other phase. So both phases need to be in balance, because if you have phase one that is constantly producing ROS in oxidative stress, and then the phase two or the other phase of the liver is not able to cope with that, then, you know, obviously, as we know, excess ROS and oxidative stress is going to start creating cellular damage. And then we're talking about hepatocyte damage, so liver damage. But that is really if sustained. But, you know, unfortunately, human beings were always like, as long as I'm fine, as I don't have any symptoms, I think I'm okay. But yeah, here it's all about prevention. If you're aware of that, I think it's important to make sure that you have the proper nutritional intake. And that comes to a question that, and then I stop with that. Maybe I'll let you continue. You know, a patient asked me, you know, I do a lot of fasting, and you know, is it good? You know, yeah, see, that there are benefits of intermittent fasting, that's for sure. And I try to do it sometime. But let's not forget that, you know, those who try to undertake longer fast, you know, I know some people that go for juice fast for like a week. Let's be careful with that, because again, it's just a biochemical process that the liver react that way, and the liver produce oxidative stress and reactive oxygen species that on the long term promote a similar damage. And if you do not have those antioxidants to buffer it, then it is not so good at the end. Those antioxidants come from the food you eat. So if you're having a detox and then you're not having nutritional intake, then it's gonna just increase the burden on the liver.
I think this is so important, that because a lot of people misunderstand how to detox. Like you mentioned, that some people just like, okay, if I go on a juice diet, then I can't detox. Yeah. So it makes it really important for someone who talked to an expert like you, understanding these two phases, because they go hand in hand. Otherwise, you're actually like causing more damage to your body than actually trying to heal it.
Exactly. And I have a funny example. Like we all went through that, I'm sure, even when we're young. And, you know, when you drink too much, you know, you have a nice night out, you're younger, you went out, you party, you had a lot of drinks. And a lot of people that drink a lot or are hungover, they're very hungry the next day. Well, it's just your body telling you, I need the nutrients to detox. And, you know, it's interesting, because when you do not really know about what's happening behind the scene, you just think that you need to eat because you're hangover. But it's what's happening behind the scene is that the liver needs the proper nutrients so that it can detoxify all the ethanol that he's not coping with.
Yes. I want to drop in another like a really interesting fact that I learned a while back, that for anyone who has Asian flush,
not Asian, Asian flush, but for anyone who has Asian flush, that means your body can actually not really properly detoxify alcohol. So if you actually have Asian flush, alcohol is actually carcinogenic. It's actually really bad for you. So if you have Asian flush, make sure you drink less or just completely eliminate alcohol from either your diet or your habit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I totally relate. I lived 15 years in Singapore, and you know, I started there my practice, etc. So, you know, we talked a lot of that about that with some of my friends over there.
Oh, really cool. Really cool. Yeah, I learned from a Taiwanese professor who studied this, and then he told me, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I knew you cannot detoxify or process alcohol if you have Asian flush, but I didn't really understand the huge impact that alcohol can actually be carcinogenic to you because of this genetic mutation.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. Yes. Good point.
Okay, so we talk about God, we talk about shamanism. Now, like, let's like talk about some actionable things for people. Like, so what are some foods that people should avoid to have better detoxification? And then, you know, what are some food that we should eat to, you know, promote for a healthy liver?
Yeah, so of course there's the common foods, you know, we need to avoid. Well, yeah, it's not a we all hear of course about alcohol. It's not to avoid, but you know, try to minimize your
Yes.
consumption and try to maybe leave it for the weekend. You know, if you're someone that enjoy your wine. Well, I do in a way, I'm French originally, so it's hard not to enjoy my wine. So yes, you know, now it's you know, someday, on weekends. But yeah, everything is about balance, right? Everything has to be done in balance. When you feel as well, listen, I would say listen to your body. When you feel you've overdone it because it's Christmas, New Year, or birthday, just try to take 2 weeks break. Give your liver a break for 2 weeks because ethanol stays in the bloodstream for at least 2 weeks,
Oh, wow.
and this is when this is when your body is finally getting rid of it. So whenever my husband is telling me I'm not drinking for a week, I say try to. So of course I would say, just try to avoid alcohol if you're going through detoxification, of course. Coffee, avoid overconsumption of coffee. Coffee is good, it's full of antioxidant, but it's also a liver on the burden. I hear as well a lot of patients and you know people around me that have such an easy end on medication and painkillers and NSAIDs, and those are bad. When I say those are bad, first is bad for the gut. It leads to leaky gut, and at the end of the day, yeah, your liver has to work really hard as well again to detoxify that and acetaminophen as well. So maybe when you have a headache, try to drink a lot of water, try to go for a walk, but try to avoid your acetaminophen, your NSAIDs, and unless you know you really like, okay, now I need it. But some people try to take NSAIDs and acetaminophen for prevention. Like, do not take it for prevention.
That's a very like American-based
Yeah,
like
so
approach to anything.
exactly. So I seem to say to my patients, just, you know, don't have a heavy head on that. And of course, try to limit trans fat, saturated fat, and everything that has been cooked in hydrogenated oil. As we know, fast food, processed food. So anything that I would say as well, you don't know what it's made of. And most of the time it's when you take away food and it's fast food and it's processed food. So the more natural the food, the better. That's what we should.
That's actually almost like it's also the exact recommendation we give it to our testers, like our customers, is that, you know, by doing these things, practicing these lifestyle changes and habits, you actually avoid a lot of toxins besides doing something good for your liver.
Exactly. And as we know as well, you know, through the products, beauty products that we're using. So obviously try to use products that are environmentally friendly, but also friendly with your liver. And you, of course,
Absolutely.
you're well aware of that.
Absolutely. So tell us about the service you provide. This is like you have such great information.
I'm an integrated nutrition health coach, so I provide health coaching sessions. as you know, again, we said it, I've been certified as well by the Gut Health Advance Program, and now in a Master of Science of functional medicine. So my ultimate goal is to get licensed as a functional medicine practitioner. This is what I'm working towards. But I provide, yes, integrated nutrition health coaching sessions for my clients. So trying just to rebalance, you know, their life holistically. You try to look at what they eat, try to look at how they live. So I follow them for a minimum of 3 months, and some patients I follow them even up to a year when they are really when there's really a big transformation needed. And sometimes they just need the support because the change is so holistic that it's hard to be left on your own. But my passion is really as well digging into the underlying biochemical mechanisms and understanding the root cause of illness and diseases. And whenever as well I have a client, I do recommend certain lab work. And nowadays there's a lot of do-it-yourself lab, whether it's stool test, whether it's intolerance, allergy tests, testing. I will see what is appropriate for the client, and whether as well it's a hormonal balance test. And according to that, then I would provide a dietary protocol. In functional medicine, we work by food is medicine. So obviously the first aspect is to rebalance, of course, your lifestyle, but what you eat. And I provide dietary protocols besides lifestyle changes. To hopefully solve those root issues.
So how do people sign up?
So, well, on my website, or, you know, they can leave me a message on IG. We have a first consultation, and it's free because first I want to understand, you know, we have a 45 minute talk. I want to understand what's going on with them. You know, it's not like they're going to pay for telling me what's going on. I think if we agree to do something, and if I believe that there's quite some work to be done, then, you know, we go on a journey together, and then we can work towards a package, a fee together for 3 months or 6 months or 12. But there's always an introductory free consultation first, and then I tell them what I think and if they're on board or not.
I love it. I love it. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing what you do. This is incredible. And I also love all the explanation.
I really wanted, when I did set up the Holistic Health Whisperer, I really wanted to recreate something that I did not have at the time. I went so down into my health. I spiraled down to such a bad state health, and nobody was able to help me. When I say nobody, it's because I did not know. And all I knew were my doctors, and, you know, they are great at what they do. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you know, I would say, unfortunately, we will always need them. But the current medical curriculum, unfortunately, is not working towards, you know, connecting all the dots. They're amazing at their specificities, at, you know, at looking at a specific area in the body. But sometimes we need to look at health holistically, and I would say most of the time. So the point of saying that I created the Holistic Health Whisperer was to share that, because it's hard to connect the dots. And if I can help others just understanding what's wrong with them and connecting the dots, I share as much as I can.
Love it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise. We're going to have to invite you back to talk about more on detox.
I would love to.
Phase one, phase two, I think. I haven't talked to anybody who explained phase one, phase two detox and how they connect to diet and how they connect to liver as well as you.
So
I'm going to have you do a deep dive eventually.
Oh yeah, I would love that. I mean, I love talking about that. So, and there's a lot to talk about. Definitely just phase one and phase two. We could just spend a whole half an hour just talking about that. Even more.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks so much. So thank you everyone
for having me.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, and then I encourage everybody to follow Sophie. So it's the .holistic.health.whisper. So make sure. And then we'll have all the information in the LinkedIn bio. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Gina. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye.